You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Everyone, welcome to episode 140 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, January 21st, and from Nashua, New Hampshire, I'm Danny Donuts, and we've got a little bit of the abridged crew here, but we have Ray and JR. So, Ray, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I spent all day watching esports ball, a.k.a. Hearthstone World Championships, and normal sports ball, a.k.a. the Patriots winning yet again.
Oh, yeah.
Both scripts for both shows were actually pretty good this time. Props to the writers. They had that confetti bomb early in Worlds. I don't know if you saw that during the finals. The confetti cannon actually went off early when Frozen was up 2-0. And it looked like he was going to win against Tom. The confetti goes off and everybody was just like, wow, this is such BM from Blizzard. And then to apologize for that, Blizzard, you know, rigged Tom's RNG a little bit and he ended up coming back and winning. And also Ben Brode said that he wanted Tom 60229 to win. So it was the script writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
And then of course with the Patriots, I mean, we all know what happened there.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the Hawaiian Missile Crisis guy found a new job.
Oh my god. What were you gonna say, JR?
Oh no, it's the curse of the confetti. Frozen got cursed by the confetti. That's what happened.
We call it the confetti curse.
Yep. Confetti curse in 2018.
Yeah, that was crazy. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. When the confetti went off early, I was like, man, I feel so bad for Tom right now. Because when that happened, Frozen just started laughing. He was so happy. He was like, I can't believe they did this. And then Tom just looked super pissed.
Yeah, and then Tom was like, really? Come on, guys.
He was like, real? Y'all don't have any faith in me? Come on.
I mean, that whole thing was just like, the very first game, the first two games had to have been so tilting for Tom anyway, because he had that first game won, and then Frozen was just drawing exactly what he needed to pull off a win and to come back. And the second game, like, Tom just had nothing, and Frozen just drew everything he needed. And then to have the confetti drop, you're just like, to be Tom at that point, you're just like, the world is completely against me. And the fact that he had the mindset still to do a reverse sweep in that situation just boggles the mind. Like, that was like Tom Brady sorts of level there to come back like that, because...
Oh my god, Tom. Both of their names are Tom.
Exactly.
Today's the day Brady. For Tom.
You caught what I was going with.
Oh my god, I changed my name to back to RayC591 and added Doctor at the front, but now I have to be Dr. RayC591 Brady. No, wait.
Oh no, Tom.
I should be Dr. Tom Ray. Yeah. I just have to put a Tom somewhere in there to increase my RNG, because as soon as I change my Twitter name to Dr. RayC591, I went on a pretty high win streak in Legend, now I'm at rank 40 right now since I did that, so I don't know, man. I think there's something to it. I figure out the perfect name, there's no way I'm not getting a rank 1 legend.
I mean, Ray, let's say you were in that situation, the exact situation as Tom right there. I mean, what would your mindset have been?
I wouldn't have noticed it, honestly. Like, I just don't really feel outside emotions when I play Hearthstone on a stage. I'm just zoned into my game. It's hard to explain, the feeling that you get when you're playing on a stage if you're actually super focused. It's almost like being on Adderall in a sense, because I used to take Adderall way back in the day when I was in middle school, just for, it was prescribed, obviously. And the feeling of being super focused on a big stage with a big crowd in front of you, I don't know, that's the feeling that it reminds me of. It's just like, your senses are super heightened, you're laser focused. It's just like, it's so weird, but I think your environment can definitely like alter how focused you are, how your mind works and stuff like that. Just like seeing somebody can instantly go from like a bad mood to a good mood. I think being in an environment like that can make you go from kind of spacing out a little bit or just being nervous to super focused. Because before the game, there's so much going on. There's like the press, there's the cameras, like there's all the people. But once you actually start to play the game, after the first game or something, you're just so focused in that you just, like, nothing else matters. It's difficult to explain unless you've experienced it, but that's the best way that I can describe it.
You also have the
Tom noticed it.
Yeah. You also have the noise-canceling headphones on, too, so you can focus a little bit more than if you're doing something else. Because you have the... You have the crowd going crazy when you start the game and everything, right? And that can be a bit overwhelming. But as soon as you have the silence, you can just focus in on your game a little bit more.
So I don't know what they do for the World Championships, that specific one, but a lot of the time they have white noise in the headphones because they need like more noise canceling. And I actually hate white noise. It's so... it reminds me of being in an MRI machine, honestly. I just don't like it. Just like the random sounds. And it's just like, I don't know, I don't like it. It's spoopy.
I know what you mean by like laser focus, because I'm thinking back, like, not even close to being on the same level, but when in high school I was playing baseball, and I was a starter for our high school team when we went to state that year. And I'm just remembering those times of just you're like, there was a decent sized crowd, like nowhere near, you know, what you'd see at like a world championship or anything like that. But just not even noticing that they're there and just being completely 100% focused on the game and on every single play. And I see what you're talking about. And you have to have that kind of mindset on that kind of on that stage. But it was just Tom's body language after those first two games, like especially after the first one, like he was just sitting there, like you can tell. He was just sitting there trying to calm himself down, like he's sitting there, like closing his eyes, and just the body language he was having just made me like, I think he's a little tilted, but and he might have been, but he was able to calm himself down and just play like crazy.
I think that kind of tilt doesn't come from the outside stimulus. Like, I don't think it comes from the crowd or just the fact that a bunch of people are watching you and there's a lot of pressure on the game. I think that kind of tilt when you're in the game comes from like what's happening in the game. Like, I still don't think he's thinking about the crowd, the cameras, all right, the people watching. I think he's just, crap, my opponent just got the nuts and he just top decked his one outer. That can't not make you frustrated.
Right.
And even on the ladder.
Because that first game, like he had it completely won and it's just Frozen just top decked. Card after card, exactly what he needed.
Yeah. Ironically, though, the first two matchups, Frozen was actually heavily favored. I am very surprised that it even got to that point where he was in danger of just losing the game outright. The fact that he even got to that point was actually surprising to me because of how favored he was in those matchups to begin with. But he played really well. It's hard to see how well he played because you just see, oh, he top decked this and got really lucky. But there were certain points in the game where he made plays that were not obvious at all. There was a turn where he played a polymorph to polymorph like a 5-5 or something when it was Jade Druid versus Big Mage. And he played Arcanologist and pinged the sheep to get a water elemental, but he could have just played Firelands Portal and pinged. And a lot of people were saying that was a huge mistake. Why would he use Polymorph when he could have just Firelands Portaled and ping? Well, he needed to play the Archaeologist to thin his deck because the only way he wins that game is to find Geist in the next couple of turns, which he did end up doing. But had he gone for a different play, like the more obvious plays that people think he should have done, he might not have found the Geist because his deck would have more cards in it.
Right. That's a very good point. Yeah. Did you think that in some, like, the rest, like, that first game was very, I agree on that first game. Like, he made some really good decisions. But then also, you know, he was top decking some stuff. But it felt like the rest of the games, all, like, it came down to, except for the final game, which I'll talk about here in a minute, but, like, the next three games felt like it just came down to who had the draw, or who had the best cards early, just won, and who couldn't draw their outs, just lost.
You could definitely say that about the Rogue match, when Tom got the giant headway to turn two.
Right.
Oh, yeah, those games were ridiculous. The, like, Frozen started up 2-0, right? And then Tom just immediately destroys him the next two games. It felt like Frozen had to fight, and he had to think really hard to win those games. Well, on some turns, there were some decisions, right? Because he was playing control decks. And then Tom just plays Kel'Thas Shadow Step or, like, Giant Van Cleef or something, and game's over. Time to go home, boys. Pack it up.
Yeah.
It just felt like the first two games were pretty epic in that it was really close, and then the next two games were just blowouts. And then the third game, I mean, JR, you said you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, because I felt like that game came down to the decision on the mulligans. And a lot of people say, like, what Tom did was a misplay, but ended up working for him, like, gloriously. Like, I feel like that's what won him the game. And for those that didn't watch or anything, what happened was both players got Ultimate Infestation as their.
It's a Jade Druid mirror. We didn't mention that.
Whatever Danny just tried to say. But they both got Ultimate Infestation in their opening hand to mulligan. And Tom had one, and Frozen had two. Both of them threw everything back except for Tom, who kept the Ultimate Infestation, not knowing that he was going to draw any ramp or anything like that. And that game basically boiled down to whoever had their Ultimate Infestation first, and ended up being Tom, because Frozen didn't draw his until way later in the game. And The question for you, Ray, is, was that a misplay on Tom's part, even though it basically won him the world championship?
I would never say that that's a misplay, because he won the world championship because of it. Like, right. if he's keeping it, he has a good reasoning to do it. I personally would not have done that. I would have looked for ramp like Frozen did. I think looking for ramp is the most important thing. If Tom did not, he top decked like runner ramp after having like his wild growth and stuff. So he got the nuts off the top of his deck. But if he didn't get that ramp, he got like three or four ramp cards. It was insane. If he didn't get that and he only got like one wild growth, that Ultimate Infestation would have been a dead card, whereas Frozen was drawing more ramp. Although Frozen didn't draw his Ultimate Infestation, he could have easily just drawn it and been on par with Tom, if not ahead, because he had more ramp. It just didn't play out like that, and the way it played out, it makes Tom look like a genius. But I personally would not ever keep Ultimate Infestation in the opening hand in the mirror unless I already had something like a Nourish or just something to ramp with. It just seems too risky.
It felt like Tom was just like, this is it, you know, like, I agree it was probably the wrong play, even though it won him the world championship. I think it was just one of those where he just went all in on a decision, and it ended up working for him. But it's highly risky, right? But I think it has a huge reward.
People who do things like that, those are calculate. Like, this is something that he decided is correct because he's played this matchup hundreds and hundreds of times. And his team decided that Ultimate Infestation was a keep in the mirror. This isn't something that he just decided to do on a whim. There's no way that you go into that matchup and just randomly say, all right, now I'm going to keep Ultimate Infestation for some reason. No, I think that that's something that the team that he playtests with decided was optimal to do, and so he did it. I don't think it was something one-off or random. I think it's just something that whoever he tests with, or him himself, thinks is correct. And it might be. It might be correct. Just because I wouldn't do it doesn't mean it's not right.
To be fair, there were some other matchups. I mean, like, in any Reno Priest match, you're always keeping Endo in, which is a pretty high drop. And then Frozen and Sentinel, whenever they got in, like, a slow matchup, whenever they were playing their Jaina, they would always keep their 9-mana card as well, because the cards are so pivotal in the matchup. And obviously, I mean, I think that it's not so far-fetched to keep the card. Obviously, like you said, it's a decision, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like, if I'm on ladder, I would at least consider it. But, I mean, like you said, I haven't played hundreds of matchups of, like, the mirror, so...
To be honest, if people just start doing that and decide that it's good, that could become the new standard. Like, when Zalae was touting that keeping Ultimate Infestation was just correct when you're playing against Priest before in a previous metagame, it was Raza Priest versus Jadgerid. Like, keeping Ultimate Infestation is correct because if you don't draw it, you lose. You need it. So you keep it. That the same could be said for the mirror match as well. If you don't draw it, you lose, so you keep it. But I think that you also have to draw a ramp with it in the mirror, whereas against Priest, you might have more time. So it's a lot more difficult of a decision, but it might just be correct.
Now, do you think though, that it was the mulligan that won him the game? Like, that decision is what ultimately won him that game?
It's a combination of the fact that he kept it, drew the ramp, and Frozen didn't draw his Ultimate Infestation or follow up Jade's. Like, he drew double Spreading Plague when he needed to draw anything else. So, it was just a combination of things, but the Ultimate Infestation was definitely a pivotal factor in winning that last game, for sure.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty cool finals. It was cool, but at the same time, it also felt like it was cool to see the reverse sweep, but then it also felt like the games were just came down to who drew their stuff and who didn't.
I think some of them did.
Like the final three definitely seemed that way.
Yeah, the final three showcased the issues with cards like Kel'Seth, and I don't think Van Cleef's a problem at all, but just cards that can win you the game immediately. Van Cleef, you obviously need a combo, a plethora of cards, but Kel'Seth is a single card that just wins you the game. And I think, like, Tom just drawing Kel'Seth's Shadow Step and just winning because of that, I don't know.
I don't think it was Kel'Seth that he got. I think you're thinking of a different game. Because he got Innervate off of the Swashburglar. And then that allowed him to play Innervate, Coin, deckhand, backstab it, and then Van Cleef for a 10-10 on turn three.
Maybe I'm thinking Frozen got... No, not Frozen. I think it was top four that happened then.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of a game previously.
Yeah, I think it was top four. I just knew it was this morning when I was watching it.
Right.
A Kel'Seth Shadow Step happened.
I mean, your point's still there. Kel'Seth is definitely a huge swing card, right?
Yeah, and Blizzard did say that they were going to be making balance changes to the game soon, so hopefully they tweak Kel'Seth or Corridor Creeper or patches. I doubt that they're going to really change something like patches now, because it's being rotated soon. I feel like they're going to do something about Corridor Creeper or Kel'Seth, since they're going to be in the metagame for longer.
Makes sense.
I don't know if Kel'Seth needs nerfed. Maybe he does. I agree on Corridor Creeper. We talked about this a little bit last week.
The thing about Kel'Seth is that it's been around for so long, right? If they go and they change it now, essentially they're like, yeah, we've let this go on for two expansions. because it's had the same purpose. It's not like the deck has changed significantly between the expansion. Sure, you get Corridor Creeper, but essentially at that point, they're admitting, yeah, we made a mistake two expansions ago when we made this card.
Mm-hmm. But Kel'Seth wasn't even, like, for the first expansion it was out, it didn't even matter. It wasn't until Fiery War Axe got nerfed, and then people realized that it could go fit really well into Rogue.
Yeah, when Druid was really powerful and you had the 5-mana Spreading Plague, no one played Rogue because Rogue was... your matchup against Druid was pretty poor as Rogue. And then it completely shifted around once the Spreading Plague nerf happened. And then that's what brought around the introduction of Kel'Seth Rogue.
Yeah, that's true. I guess maybe once Patches rotates, Kel'Seth isn't a problem either. And that for now they might just nerf Corridor Creeper, since that could be a problem in the future. It definitely limits some design with cards as well. Whereas Kel'Seth, it will always be the same thing. Like, you're never going to have to worry about building cards around Kel'Seth unless they have a Patches effect, which I doubt that they will print again.
Yeah, they've learned Corridor Creeper.
Yeah, Corridor Creeper is something that they always have to be aware of. Like, will this card bust Corridor Creeper when it's already close to being busted? If not already.
What are your thoughts on Creeper? What are your thoughts on how they should nerf it, if that's a thing, Ray? Because we talked about this last week, but we didn't get your opinion.
They can just make it, like, one more mana, two more mana. Whatever they want to do. Do they want it to die? Make it two more mana. I think that's probably fine. Then it becomes a control card in some sense. Like, you clear a whole board with Hellfire, and then you play it.
Yeah, I can see that. I think we talked about either making it your opponent's minions or your minions, one or the other, instead of all.
Yeah, that would be really interesting if they just made it your opponent's minions. I think then it would probably be unplayable, which is fine. Increasing the mana, I think, would also do the trick. Whatever they do, I think that they're probably going to do something, and it's going to be to that card or Kel'Seth. Or they're just going to rotate early, but I doubt that. Seems unlikely. Do we even know what the new year is? They never announced that.
They? No, they won't probably until next month, along with the changes.
Yeah, they'll probably announce them all at the same time.
Right, so they'll announce the balance changes that are going to happen, along with any cards that might rotate into the Hall of Fame, which we discussed. Ice Block might be one of those, or something like that. And then, probably when we'll start hearing about the next expansion, which we'll probably see either at the end of March or, beginning of April.
Yeah. And I maybe it'll happen around when they let teams sign up for the whole team thingy that they're doing with Hearthstone, where they are going to be paying teams if they're in the top 10 of all teams. Because right now, there's no information on it other than that it exists and what the prize payouts are.
I'm also curious to see if they make any announcements to ladder changes or anything like that. Because I remember an interview they showed during the HCT with Dean Ayala. And I didn't catch all of it, but I did catch a part of it where he was talking about how last year they kind of just focused on... like the, you know, getting single player content going and, you know, having this, it's because it's going to happen every expansion and, you know, switching it to the, three major expansions instead of having an adventure mode, shuffled in there somewhere. So every expansion basically has an adventure mode, type style in it. But he said now that they kind of got all of that this year, they're going to focus on, these other things on quality of life or things that new features that they've been wanting to bring into Hearthstone. And I'm hoping that means that we'll start seeing some of the stuff that the community's kind of been really wanting. Or
yeah,
what I'm afraid that they'll do is they'll go completely off the wall and do their own thing that nobody ever asked for.
I've been told that they are going to make changes to the ladder and that I will not have to grind as much to Legend, which I don't know what that means, but those are the rumors that I've heard just through the grapevine. Not from, like, anyone at Blizzard or anything. I think just people talking about it in general. Right. Like, that's the consensus that I feel like a lot of people have come to when they talk about ladder changes. I don't think they're going to change something like Legend existing or, like, just change the whole system completely. I think they're going to change where you start off and how long it takes to get to Legend, that kind of thing, based off of where you finished last season.
I mean, they've already made the ranked floors, so, like, they can make changes to the system that make it better just for quality of life. Like, the ranked floors significantly increase the experience, right? You get to a ranked floor and then you can meme around for a little bit. You could try out some new decks that are coming up and not worry about losing any points for the average player. And then you can just continue on your merry way. So I think that the ranked floors are definitely a good idea of how they could potentially change things for other quality of life things on ladder. Just make it so, like you said, starting people at different points is a good way to do that. Maybe changing the win streak. That's one of the things that I was thinking about. And maybe if you go on a win streak, you start getting 3 or 4 stars, because a lot of the times you just start, if you're playing up in those early ranks, you win a bunch of games in a row.
Right. I don't know. I feel like they're going to increase the amount of stars you get past rank 5, I think, is when you stop getting extra stars for the next season. I'm not 100% sure, but if they stop it at Legend, then I feel like they're going to give you more stars for getting higher rank in Legend, or just getting Legend in general. Like, the starting stars, like how you start off at rank 16 every season. I think that they're going to increase the amount of stars that you get, which would be really good for the grinder.
Yeah. I just want to see them have some kind of reward system in place that would entice people to actually want to rank, for people that have hit Legend but aren't on Ray's level where they're playing for points to play in a big tournament, to actually entice me to want to get a higher rank, because right now I just don't care. Like, I've hit Legend multiple times. I'm not gonna, you know, I have a full-time job. I'm not going to travel around the world trying to be a Hearthstone pro or anything like that. I'm not going to take the time to do that. I have zero incentive at all to even get rank 10 or higher, or even rank 5, or, you know, I just don't care. At some point, like, I'll play because it's fun, and I'll play around the decks, but like, there is no incentive for me to continue trying to play at a higher level.
Do you think that you would have more incentive if they did something like Overwatch, where as you level up, you get more quote-unquote loot boxes or, like, end-of-season chest-type things? If they added something like that, where every rank you get another chest that could have X, Y, or Z in it or something like that?
Yeah, like any kind of, like, extra rewards, because the rewards that they give you right now, just okay. It's all right, but it's not enough to make me care. I can rank to rank 15 and feel like I just got just as rewarded as if I had hit Legend.
Right. I think that the ranked end of season boxes that they give out are actually pretty terrible rewards, because people like instant gratification when they play something like Hearthstone, in my opinion, where it's much, much more rewarding for me to see myself getting something once I hit that rank. Once I hit rank 5, if I get a rank 5 chest, that would feel so much more rewarding than waiting till the end of the season to get it, and then I log on and remember that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you'd have to, then they would, and this may not be a bad idea, they would have to give rewards, you know, per rank or per ranked floor, even. But I would still be, that would still be better than the current system they have now.
Yeah, I just feel like whenever a season ends, especially since I play multiple servers, that end of season box is just more clicking that I have to get through till I get to play my next game.
Yeah, like, I never even look at what my reward is. I'm just like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I find it in the collection afterwards. I sort by new afterwards. I'm like, oh, I got this. Cool.
That's actually what I do, too. I'm just like, wow, I forgot that I even get this anymore, and I don't really care. But if I got it as I achieved the rank, I'd probably open it. I'd be like, nice. I wonder what I got.
I think that part of it, too, is that there's some level of player that has all the cards they want. I mean, obviously, you can always try to get the golden collection, but at least for me, I have all the cards that are needed to assemble pretty much every meta deck. And if I'm going through and I get this reward, great, it's more dust for me to save up for the next expansion, but that's pretty much what it is. That's what it turns into. I don't really like the card as a reward. I'm looking for something different to distinguish, hey, I got legend this season, you get this cool card back. I think that would be cool, right? Where it's like, okay, this is like some exclusive card back that you get if you hit legend for one specific season. I think that would be a really good motivator to get people to go in.
So here's something that they probably won't do, but that I have always been a fan of, which is alternate art cards. So you get, say you hit rank 5, you get like an uncommon alternate art. But when you get legend, you get whatever the alternate art for that month is of a legendary, whatever it is. I don't know if that's too much, but it doesn't even have to be a legendary. Just any card with alternate art. I love that stuff. Like, when I played Magic, that was my favorite thing, was going to FNM to get the promos.
Almost sort of what the golden cards are, right? But I mean, they're the same art, they're just animated a little bit, and
but they're not things exclusive, like
that. Right?
Like the promos, like if I go to Friday Night Magic, which is what FNM stands for, I get an FNM promo that I can only get by attending an FNM during that specific month. So I want a card that I can only get by getting to X rank on this month. And then I'll never see it printed again.
And I don't want it to be card backs either. I'm with you. I want to see it be a card.
Yeah,
an alternate art card would be so perfect right now. That would like motivate me to just get legend on like at both servers that I play on, NA and EU. Man. It's just more motivation.
People will be so salty because they won't get it. But I agree. Like, that is something though that like it should be something that is exclusive.
That's more motivation for them to get better, right?
Right.
You missed the cutoff. Great. Now you keep complaining about crap RNG. Well, a bunch of other people did it. You need to get better at it. Essentially, that's what it is.
I mean, they already do stuff like that where people could get mad. Like getting to top whatever legend, getting X amount of points gets you invited to prelims. And people don't complain about that. Like getting invited to prelims and getting money, like, but they get salty about a card.
That's because someone at rank 20, Ray, is not going to have disillusions about getting HCT points.
But then why would they complain about not being able to get legend? It's like, I don't know. It makes sense, like, how it's different, but to me, it's, like, kind of similar.
I mean, put it this way. People complain that they can't get an alternate hero because they don't want to go outside to a fireside gathering.
Right.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So you've got to put that mentality in here.
I mean, to be fair, you can literally complain about anything. That's one of the big things. Yeah. I could complain, oh, it feels like my RNG for the past 3 games has been horrible. I got a Mukla off of the whatever the new hunter hero that summons a 3-drop. I got a Mukla off of that, and I got kind of pissed off earlier today. But I'm like, oh, Ben Brode, you screwed me over with this RNG. Like, you can get pissed off at random things like that. You can literally get pissed at anything.
Do you want to know the secret to fixing that? Do you?
Yeah, sure. Let's hear it.
You have to add 60229 to the end of Danny Donuts and put Doctor before it.
Doctor 60229 Donuts?
No, Dr. Danny Donuts 60229.
There we go.
Was there anything else that we had to add? I don't remember.
Tom.
You have to have Tom in your name because Tom Brady and Tom 60. Okay.
I got it.
Dr. Tom Danny Donuts 60229. Then you'll never get unlucky again in your life.
I promise.
I'll pay off Ben Brode to switch the RNG switch off for me so that I just get pure high rolls. Then I might as well start playing Big Priest.
And just so we're clear, like, I'm not saying, like, don't do it because people are going to complain. Because I like the idea, and I think you should do it even though people are going to complain. I'm just saying people will complain because it'll be like the first thing on the Hearthstone subreddit for the next 3 months if it happens.
I mean, I'm fine with that. More for me!
Yeah.
More the merrier. I like it. I mean, it also just gives people a chance to have a motivation to play the game. Like, people who are close to getting legend, but they just don't care to finish out the grind. If they get a promo, they're gonna care. They're gonna put more time into your game, buy more cards, aka more money going into the game.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just sounds like something that can't go wrong.
I would not have spent the last 2 months now playing Dungeon Run. Because Dungeon Run, yeah, it doesn't give you the rewards. But like I said, ranked play, at this point, doesn't really give me rewards either. Yeah, I can get gold for winning and, you know, maybe get a few more packs that way. But I've been enjoying Dungeon Run a lot more that it outweighs the rewards that I would have gotten by playing ranked, in my opinion.
Right.
But if they had a reward like that, yeah, I'd be playing ranked to try to get the whatever thing that I need to get that month. Because right now, the only thing that you get for playing ranked for a month is, yeah, you get those rewards that we talked about that aren't that great. You get the card back, which all you need to do is hit rank 20, in which, whatever, that took me, like, no time because I'm usually at rank 19 or 18 to begin with anyway. And that's all you get. And if you already hit legend and your only goal is you want to hit legend once, because you want to get the card back. You want to get the legendary card back. Once I have all of that, I just don't care.
Right. This is something that I just thought about that I talked about before the show that I wanted to kind of bring up, and this is completely switching gears now, we're just talking about ranked play, and I wanted to talk about the world's metagame and the fact that it was behind the online competitive metagame by probably 2 whole weeks, because I believe the last time I was on the show, I remember saying something about Big Priest and how it was going to get popular, or Big Mage, sorry, yeah. Not Big Priest, how Big Mage was going to get bigger, and then I don't know if it has gotten bigger where you guys are on ladder, but for me, I've been seeing it a lot more, and I feel like it's gaining popularity now that the worlds have been showcased. I don't know, do you guys?
Yeah, I think that it definitely, as soon as the deck lists came out, I feel that the meta shifted significantly because everyone had access to them and people started playing Big Mage a lot more. You had mentioned some other stuff that came up for some of the like the Copa lineups and stuff like that, which is that was very interesting. And you maybe you want to go into that a little bit.
Yeah, so basically the World Championships, the lineup that Frozen played that everybody thought was super innovative was actually just the standard vanilla lineup that everybody has been playing for the past 2 weeks in the online qualifiers. It's actually just the most vanilla lineup that you can play right now, and the rogue lineups that were considered standard for Worlds are actually just outdated now, even though it seems kind of weird because it's such a short amount of time. That's just how rapidly it evolves when you're playing in these online qualifiers, and the new trend right now is to be playing a big druid or a quest druid with jungle, that's like the jungle giants druid or whatever it is, to counter the big mage, and then you play quest rogue, which counters the control decks, aka big mage, and combo dragon priest, which is going to beat big mage, and it's going to beat priest, so all these decks are just being able to beat priest and big mage. The dragon combo priest more specifically beats the priest, and it plays Temporis as well, which is actually really funny that Temporis is actually super playable and an important tool to that deck.
One thing that I didn't hear you mention is Warlock throughout this whole thing. Is Q-Block just universally banned now? Is it like, all right, I'm going to ban your warlock and we'll deal with the rest because I can target priest better?
In an open list format, maybe not as much, because if it's cube block and you have, I don't know, like the other deck in that lineup was Tempo Mage or Quest Mage. Like Tempo Mage can just beat it because they don't have as much healing as the control lock. But in a general format, yeah, warlock's just banned like 100% of the time, unless you're playing the counter lineup, which just bans aggro.
Mm-hmm. So does that say something about how strong warlock is? Does that mean that something needs to be changed about the decks when this new nerf comes in? Because, I mean, warlock was probably the deck that was banned the most at Worlds. Like, hands down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I don't think it's a bad thing, because it's not that warlock is broken. It's that priest and warlock are broken. So if you ban one, then you can make your deck a little bit better against the rest of the field. Like, you don't have to worry about having to play against warlock. So you can just kind of build your lineup to exclude it. Like, when you don't ban warlock, you have to play cards like double Spellbreaker in your rogue or something like that. But if you ban priest, like, and you have warlock open, you're going to have to still play those cards like Spellbreaker and stuff. Or you could just ban it and have to deal with the priest, which generally loses to more things, or at least has a chance to lose to more things, whereas warlock definitively beats decks like aggro. Like, control warlock will beat aggro most of the time, like probably 70% of the time, whereas priest can just get destroyed by it if they get a bad start.
Yeah.
So warlock just does its job better than priest, but priest beats the general field better. I don't know, it's just easier to ban the deck that's more specifically good against certain decks, and then just not have to worry about it. It's interesting. And now the metagame is evolving to the point where you're banning aggro because you're just playing decks that counter warlock and priest. And then it's going to go, like, I think aggro is going to start to become more popular now. Like, Ant's lineup would have been really good if people were playing the Copa lineups, where people are playing these big druid shenanigans, like all this anti-control quest stuff that people who are listening have probably never even seen before. Like, Quest Rogue, people are like, what? That deck's a thing now? Yes, yeah, it is a thing. It's very good, and it's top 8ing major tournaments. It's just the tournaments that it's doing well in are not getting that much coverage publicly, because obviously the World Championships are happening, and because Blizzard is so smart, they decided to run all their major tournaments at the same time as Worlds. So that way they get no exposure at all, and nobody cares about them, except for the people playing. Which is super weird.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you had the, what was it, 2 weeks beforehand, you had to have the deck list in for World. So it makes sense why it's so far behind, because the meta does shift very quickly.
Yeah, and it's World, so it's harder to take bigger risks. Like, Big Mage was very known at that time as a deck that was a real thing. But not everybody was comfortable with it 2 weeks ago, and they weren't 100% sure on it. So it's better to just go with the safe option.
Yeah, especially with such high stakes, right? You don't want to be the person who goes in and risks it all just to get the little jab in at something that is a little bit off meta.
Yeah, and the people who did end up taking that risk got rewarded. Frozen played a good big mage list, and he got second. Sintalol, yeah. I think
Sintalol got top lost 8, but I'm pretty sure he lost a Frozen on the way up.
But I think his big mage still probably did very well in groups.
Yeah,
oh, and definitely. I think that the big mage decks overperformed for sure, and I think Frozen lineup wise, just not like actually playing out the games. If I had to guess who was going to win based off of lineups, I would say that Frozen or Sintalol would have won the whole tournament, because their lineups were just ahead of the metagame compared to the lineups of everyone else in the tournament, besides Ant, who just went full aggro, which he got punished for very hard.
Yeah. It's funny, though, how if it was held one metagame cycle further, though, his deck would have been ahead of that meta.
Right. It is kind of funny, because There was no wacky, like, quest rogue lineups at all, because those didn't exist when they submitted the list, for the most part. Like, it was kind of an afterthought where, I don't know if anybody knows who Fino HS is, but he was talking about how this is going to be the best lineup, and it was quest rogue, tempo mage, it was some type of druid deck, and combo priest. And he was like, this is going to be the new best thing. And then eventually, something similar became really popular in the Copa qualifiers. And Monsanto qualified, a bunch of people qualified playing that wacky lineup. But it would have lost to Ant's lineup super hard. But the meta that Ant happened to play in was Big Mage, the meta game.
So what you're saying is Ant was ahead of his time.
Ant took, he went too deep. Like, you got Inception, he was like three Inceptions in, and it didn't work out for him. He couldn't pull out. He got stuck in the wrong Inception.
I just remember, the Choose Your Champion thing came out. I didn't even look at the deck lineups. I'm like, I'm going all in on Ant, because Ant's my favorite player. Then I looked at his deck lineup, and I'm just like, oh man, mistakes were made. I even talked about that last week.
Yeah, I mean, I chose Ant out of support. Like, you gotta choose your homie. Like, no matter how bad I think his lineup was, is irrelevant, because you just gotta do it. You can't not support your boy.
Right.
It's actually funny. I was at PAX South last week, which is why I missed the show, and I was talking to Trump, and Trump, He's actually a really, he's an awesome dude. I was hanging out with him all weekend playing board games and stuff. There's one point where we're talking about how we all subscribe to each other, like, as a group. There's, like, a group of us, like, me, Ant, Dr. J, Cydonia. Like, we just all subscribe to each other, just as a sign of, like, support. And just, like, I don't know, camaraderie or something like that. And Trump was like, you know, you could all just save more money by not subscribing to each other, right? Like, you're just losing money by doing that. And I was like, that's not the point of it. The point of it is that it's to show that we support each other. It's like a token, not so much a cost thing. So, picking Ant, you just gotta support your homie. Even though you know you're gonna lose potentially 5 packs or whatever it is.
When you say subscribe, you mean like on Twitch subscriptions or?
Oh yeah, like Twitch. Yeah. Twitch subscriptions.
Okay. I was confused on how subscribing costs anything. I thought you meant like just being like friends or whatever. I'm like, how does that cost you any extra?
Oh no.
Does like, Trump not believe in having
every
friends?
Single one of my friends takes a little bit of money off of my my potential revenue.
No. Trump's like, I don't have friends. They cost too much money.
No. I should have specified that on Twitch. Because Twitch takes, like, 30% or something like that. So, you're theoretically losing money. But, you're getting that support. Which actually means a lot to smaller streamers. Or just, like, a friend group.
It does, actually. 100%. Like, I have a handful of subscriptions to people that are just friends or whatever. To just show them, you know, that, hey, you know, keep doing this, you know, type thing. It's the money isn't, I don't care about the money. I care about, you know, propping, you know, a friend of mine up for whatever they're choosing to do.
Yeah. And it's only like $5. So it's like, if it was actually expensive, obviously then.
Right. Then, if it was $100, I'm like, yeah, well, like, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, like that's a conversation. Like, but I don't know. I gotta pick the boy, even though I knew he was gonna get destroyed. Sad days.
Yeah, like I said, I went all in on Ant, and then
all in.
Yeah, it's fine. I'd still, knowing the results, I'd still do it right now.
The Ant got squashed.
Even though he doesn't know who I am, and it doesn't really matter. I'm a fan of Ant, so that's who I'm gonna root for.
He'd like you. He'd walk up to you and be like, thick boys.
Fair enough.
No offense.
Oh, where do we want to go from
on that? You have a beautiful body.
I think that's a good. That's a good stop point. Do we want to touch on anything else?
We could talk about the John segment for a quick minute. Yeah. I can just do the rundown on that. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we should tell everyone what the John segment is.
All right. You can do that.
Yeah. So John was mentioning earlier in our chat that he wanted to get a little bit better at the game. So this is just some advice that we want to give out to people as some a little bit more experienced players on how to get good at Hearthstone.
Yeah. It's if you were a noob, AKA a John, I think is the point here, right? Yeah. And this is the advice that you would get.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes, if you were a John, this is what I would tell you. Well, actually, no, this is what I would tell you if I didn't know you, and I just knew you were a new player to the game. I wouldn't tell John this. I would probably word it very differently. Maybe make fun of him a little bit, and then he'd make fun of me. Then we'd go back and forth and would learn nothing. Okay, but anyways, so what decks are good to play that are cheap? So the cheapest decks to play right now that are the best decks to climb with are going to be Tempo Mage. That is probably under 4,000 dust or something like that. Corridor Creepers are really the only expensive cards.
And a Luneth.
Luneth if you play it. You can choose to not play Luneth, although it's one of the best cards for sure. It's not 100% needed by any chance, and APX Void actually doesn't think it's good. So
really?
Yeah, if you can't afford Aluneth, you don't need it. You can just play something else, like another Firelands Portal if you're only playing one, just a big threat, whatever it is, Archmage, Lich King, it doesn't really matter, just another good card. Orange's Aggro Hunter or Rage's Aggro Hunter are both very cheap, very good. I think Corridor Creeper is the most expensive card in that deck.
And don't feel afraid to craft Corridor Creeper at the moment too, because there's a high likelihood that it's going to get nerfed, and when it gets nerfed, you will get your dust back. So
you'll get 100% refund. Yeah.
So that's a definite note at the moment for going into anything.
And if it doesn't get nerfed, it's a really good card.
Yeah, if it doesn't get nerfed, even better.
Yeah,
because now you have Corridor Creepers, and you're going to need those if you want to play. And the next deck. I actually don't. You mentioned Tempo Rogue, but I don't really think. Is Tempo Rogue really that cheap? Like, you have Kel'Esteth, you have Creepers,
you have Patches,
Sonya.
Yeah.
You have
it's Patches. Probably not that cheap.
The only reason Tempo Rogue would be considered quote unquote cheap is if you were playing the previous expansions and you had already created, like, a Tempo Rogue style deck because that was popular in the meta already.
Yeah.
And then all you're doing is adding the Corridor Creepers, basically.
Yeah,
or the Elven Minstrels.
And speaking of previous expansions, if you are playing against a lot of control decks and you don't know what to do and you don't have a whole lot of cards available to you, but you had the quest from Quest Rogue from before, you could actually just build the New Age Quest Rogue deck, and that would be perfect for this metagame if you're playing against control, because if you already had the quest and patches, then you pretty much have the whole deck. The rest of it's just commons for the most part. And Mimic Pod.
Are there any new innovations on that list? Anything that stands out that's different than what it was last expansion?
People are playing the 0/2 Divine Shield Taunt guy.
The Wax Elemental, yeah.
Wax Elemental, but I'm pretty sure that's just a common card.
I think it is as well.
Some people are playing the Gorgonzola card. Or the cheese thing, the cheese monster.
Yeah. Zolo, yeah, they're playing I think it's called Zola the Gorgon. It's the backwards of what the cheese is.
Yeah, the cheese monster. And then Aggro Druid is insane right now. If you have patches, I'm pretty sure that deck is not horribly expensive right now. Living Mana is an epic, though, so maybe it gets up there with Living Mana, Corridor Creeper, Druid of the Swarm. But if you have those already, Aggro Druid's an insanely good deck right now.
The deck that surprised me that people might want to look into, that even if you're looking at just ranking up like you know, in the from 20 to 10, even maybe even higher than that, is Dragon Priest. Like, I was so surprised when I looked and saw what the dust cost is for Dragon Priest, because it doesn't play any legendaries. It's got like one or two epics, because the list I'm looking at plays like one Corridor Creeper, one Grand Archivist, which you probably don't need. You can probably just add another Corridor Creeper in there. And then Curious Glimmer Root, and then everything else is rares and commons, and it's less than 4,000 dust.
Yeah, that's another cheap one as well. And if you have the Temporis that you opened up and you haven't disenchanted it yet, and you're playing against a lot of control decks, you can go ahead and add that card in the deck, because it single-handedly beats Raza Priest and sometimes even Control Warlock.
Wait, because Temporis, that's the card that does the extra turn?
Yes.
Why is that suddenly good?
So basically the idea of it is you play it on turn 7 against Raza Priest, they can never kill you. Like, that deck just cycles. The only way they kill you is if they have Prophet Velen in their hand and Mind Blast and Smite. And they just play, after you play Temporis, they just drop down Velen and kill you the next turn somehow, which is very unlikely. And even then, sometimes they can't kill you. So if you drop down Temporis, they don't kill you. They just draw cards, go to 30 health, do whatever. Maybe do nothing but draw cards, because that's usually what happens. Then you take your turn and you just one shot them.
Do they not get mana on their extra turns?
What do you mean? They get mana.
Do they get the additional mana? So, like, it's the next turn, so do you go from 7 mana to 8? Or do you stay at 7?
Yeah, you go to 8.
Okay.
So the idea is you play Temporis, they take 2 turns, they don't kill you, then you just play a minion, buff it up a bunch, then you take your extra turn, Divine Spirit, Inner Fire, they're dead.
No, yeah. I thought you were talking about with Dragon Priest. I'm just like, what? How does that work with... Well, you're talking about like a combo. Just a combo priest.
Well, combo priests are also dragon priests now. There's combo dragon priest.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone brought that to Worlds. Straight up dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Cintillo brought it to Worlds. And then he did well with it. Hmm. But yeah, that deck is really strong in general, and Temporis helps you just beat priest.
I actually opened a golden Temporis like a couple weeks ago, Now I have a reason to not disenchant it.
Yeah, it's surprising because that card seems so odd, but for that one specific matchup, it just makes you win, and it's actually being played a lot. I played against it twice at Top 50 Legend, and I got destroyed because they just went Temporis, and I didn't have Velen in my hand. And I went to 30 health and said, hope you don't kill me. They played Twilight Drake, played Talon Priest, played Power Word Shield, and then doubled its health twice on the next turn and killed me. It did an insane amount of damage. It was like 32 or something like that.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. I was like, wow, that was a fun game. I really got to interact there.
Did you have fun,
Good
though?
One, Ben Brode. I had so much fun. I had so much fun. You have no idea how much fun it was. Yeah, and the last thing on the John segment was basic concepts that can improve a player's win rate. This is one that I always like to give to new players. If you're struggling to decide what to do, whether to attack, to go face, or trade with your opponent's minions, always go face and try to just win the game, because that will benefit you more of the time if you have complex trades that you're trying to figure out and you don't know what the right thing to do is. Just go face. It makes everything easier.
So what you're saying is I'm in a situation where I'm like, man, math is hard and I don't know how to trade. This might just go poorly. Screw it. Just put a cardboard thing up over my minions and over the guy's face and just not even look at their minions and just go just hit the cardboard cut out of their face.
Most of the time it's the right play. The main misplay I saw at Worlds was people trading too much because they're just trying to think of these scenarios where their opponent has ways to punish them, but it's really unlikely, and they end up losing a lot of damage by not going face because they make trades that their opponents would have made anyways. And that's an even common misplayer amongst newer players. They're just always trading. And if they just go face, they win more of the time.
Well, the thing is, you're always taught, like, and, like, if you watch any streamer or anything, you're always kind of taught, like, you gotta get the most value, and you gotta have board control. If you don't have board control, you're gonna lose the game. You gotta have board control, you gotta have card advantage.
Well, part of that is because every streamer who's, like, is trying to, like, streamers used to throw in, and you're, like, doing an entertainment stream, you, like, this guy's Toast, he'll throw Yogg into every single one of his decks. So a lot of the times they're playing control style decks, which need to do that. But for mid range and aggro decks, you typically don't need to go play for value.
Yeah, it's obviously wrong to do if you're playing a control deck where you need to trade. But generally, going face is just better if you're playing a non super control deck like Warlock. That's the main tip that I have for most people that are new to the game, just because it makes life easier. Especially when you don't know what all the cards your opponents might be playing in, because you're not as familiar with the game. That's one of the main reasons to trade, is try to play around certain cards. But if you don't know what the cards are, why bother trying to play around them?
Yeah. No, it makes sense to me.
Yep. That's fair.
Just get them. Go face. SM Orc.
I think that's Ray's solution for everything, is just go face and don't do math and...
Wait, did you say don't do math?
Yeah, don't do math. Don't do meth.
Okay.
Don't do meth and don't do math.
No. This is super
your public service announcement from WellMet. Don't do meth.
No. This is super funny, though. Okay, did you know that Ant had to change his name when he qualified for the HCT in 2014 or 2015 or whatever it was? It wasn't actually even called the HCT. It was, like, the American Tour Championship or some shit like that. Ant, his name was Ant Loves Meth.
No way.
His name was Ant Loves Meth for the longest time. His Skype name is still... Never mind. It's actually not that. It's something similar, but... It's really funny that you mentioned meth, because Ant loves meth.
If I had known that, I would not have chosen Ant as my champion.
Maybe that's why I submitted that lineup, bro.
So, I wish you would have told me that like 2 weeks ago, Ray.
Well,
I would have chosen someone else.
He's reformed now. He's better. Now he's lovable. He was always lovable, actually. But now he's just Ant. Just lovable Ant. Before he did a little meth. It was okay, though. He was still lovable. But now...
Don't do meth.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Don't do meth. You'll end up submitting bad lineups to the World Championships.
This went downhill. I'm ready to go.
Right, on that note, we want to give a shout out to our well-met legends from our Patreon, The Real Ben and Karel. If you want to follow us on Patreon, go to www.patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We always appreciate donations there. So let's close this show up. Let's do some shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you? So, Ray?
You can follow me on Twitter at @PG_RayC, or look up Dr. RayC591_HS.
Wasn't there a Tom and then Tom Brady and then 60229 in there as well?
I haven't changed it yet. There will be soon.
JR?
It's not even a joke. You can look
at Yeah. In about a half hour, I'm going to see that up there when I go on Twitter. JR?
Oh, man. I want to give a shout out to someone. Jeffrey Fritz. I can't talk now. I'm getting Danny syndrome. he's over at C Sharp Fritz. He streams on Twitch, and he's a .NET developer who listens to the show. He plays Hearthstone, stuff like that. But he does when he streams. He streams programming, like coding and stuff. He works for Microsoft, and it's very cool to check out his stuff if you're interested in any kind of programming. And the only reason I'm bringing him up is because me and him are going to be doing some pair programming on his stream at some point in the future. We're still working out the details, but we're going to start developing a Hearthstone extension, either as like probably a standalone client or something. We'll get into the details later. That will be kind of like a deck tracker, but for your opponent.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so kind of the idea might be to predict what your opponent is playing based on what your opponent has played so far. So it might like go look up meta decks and then try to figure out what your opponent might have. But we're still trying to figure out what might break the terms of service and what doesn't. So,
you won't know until you get arrested.
That's true.
That's what I always say.
Well, you don't get arrested. Well, the only thing is that Blizzard bans your account.
Oh.
But yeah, you don't. But his stuff's very cool. I've learned a lot by just watching him, and I'm looking forward to joining him on stream and coding that. We're going to code it all on stream through several streams. It'll take probably, I'm sure it'll take several weeks or months to put together. So check that out. You can also follow me over on Twitter at Eldorian. However, I think I'm going to change that to at Dr. J.
Dr. T.
Dr. J underscore Tom 62209. Is that right?
Close enough.
Dr. J Tom 06229.
It's Dr. Tom Eldorian 60229.
Does math.
Underscore does math. HS.
Underscore HS, yeah.
Does math.
Loves math.
Loves math.
Oh, man. All right, well,
there you go.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter on DannyDonuts underscore HS. Haven't been on Twitch in a while, but that's DannyDonuts45. My shout out for the week is John, who's going to edit this and hopefully listen to our John section.
We should call it Dear John.
Yeah, it's Dear John.
Dear John. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for episode 140 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet at us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Shout out to Jake Butno. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.